You know, pride can be a pretty humorous thing, and we get prideful, just about every one of us. And the thing about pride, though, is sometimes we don't realize that we have it or that we're displaying it. It's very, very subtle. You know, there's a pastor who one Sunday he announced that he was going to resign the church, that he had found another position, and God called him to another church. And he was shaking hands after the service, and this sweet lady comes by, and she's just real sad. And she said, "I just hate that you're leaving. You know, I just hate that we're going to have to look for another pastor." And he kind of felt that made him feel a little good, that, you know, he's going to be missed, you know, and he kind of swelled up a little bit. "You know what? Don't worry about it. I'm sure you'll find somebody even better than I am." And she looked at him and said, "You know, every preacher says that, but they keep getting worse and worse." Proverbs verse 18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." This is a sin that does more to hold back revival in a church. It does more to destroy homes. This sin does more to destroy our nation. It fills up hell more than any other sin, one theologian said. It's the sin of pride, and it's a very deceitful sin. Like I said, most people don't even know they have it. A drunkard knows he's a drunkard. A thief knows that he's a thief. But very seldom does a person recognize that he or she is proud. I remember that story of the Sunday school teacher that was teaching about the Pharisee and the publican in the temple. And Jesus was telling the story how the publican just fell on his face and said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, a sinner." And the Pharisee's prayer was, "Lord, thank you that I am not like this publican." And the Sunday school teacher said, "Now, children, aren't you glad that we're not like that old Pharisee?" Totally missed the point there. It's so subtle, it sneaks in on us. Now, first of all, before we get rolling here, I want to tell you what pride is not. Pride is not a good self-image. That's not what we're talking about this morning. You're a child of God. If you have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you are somebody. You are seen as righteous in God's eyes. Jesus calls you brothers and sisters. Jesus calls you friends. And humility is not thinking lowly of yourself, beating yourself up. Humility comes when you're not thinking of yourself at all, really. Pride is not having this self-image that is healthy. Pride is not gratefulness for a job well done. Take pride in your work. Do a good job. What pride is, what we're talking about, the sin of pride here, real pride, sinful, destructive pride is, first of all, it's an attitude of independence from God. It's when someone feels like, you know, "Hey, God, I'm self-sufficient. I have everything I need. Your services are no longer required, Lord." That's pride. And you know, that's silly, though, because the truth is that no one is in no way self-sufficient. We're not self-sufficient, or we need God. When we have pride, though, we have this attitude of independence from God. Do you know why people don't pray? You want to know the real reason why people don't pray? It's not because of prayerlessness. That's not the problem. The problem is that they don't feel a need to pray. And we feel so self-sufficient that we don't feel a need to go to God. It's really comes from a spirit of independence from God. You're wrestling with prayerlessness. What you're really wrestling with is pride. Not only is it independence from God, but pride is ungratefulness to God. When God blesses us, we act like, "Well, it's about time, Lord. You know, whoo, it's about time you sent some rain, man." Or some of us do that instead of, "Whoo, thank God. Thank you for that rain. Thank you so much." Or, "It's about time it cooled off here. Lord, you need to get on the ball here." You know, a spirit of ungratefulness to God is nothing but a spirit of pride. Paul says, "What do you have that you have not received?" "Well, I worked for it. I earned it." "Well, who gave you the ability to work?" right? Who gave you the strength? Who gave you the energy? You don't have one thing that you haven't received. And a spirit of ungratefulness is a spirit of pride. And I also, not only that, it's when you esteem yourself better than other people. We don't do that, do we? That's pride. There's some indicators of a proud person. See if this touches on you a little bit, and we'll see if we could step on as many toes as we possibly can this morning. A proud person becomes irritated when corrected for their mistakes. It's always an alibi. There's always an excuse. A proud person accepts praise for things over which she or he has no control over, like or talents or abilities. A proud person has an ungrateful spirit for all that God has done, or a proud person finds himself in competition with others. This competition thing. You see, pride doesn't want more. Pride wants more than somebody else. Pride doesn't want more. Pride wants more than somebody else. C.S. Lewis once wrote it this way. He wrote, "Pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having more of it than the other man." We say that people are proud of being rich or clever or good looking, but they are not. They are proud of being richer or cleverer or better looking than others. It is the comparison that makes you proud, the pleasure of being above the rest. Esteeming yourself better than someone else. That's the kind of pride that we're talking about this morning. Well, there's five things that pride can do that will destroy your life. And we're going to look at them this morning. Five things that pride can do that can destroy your life. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be flipping through Proverbs quite a bit, going here and there. There's a whole bunch of verses we're going to be looking at. But the first one is in chapter 6, verses 16. And it has to do with the first thing that pride can do to devastate your life. And that's that pride defies God. Pride defies God. Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19. "These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren." All those things God hates. You got your top seven list of what God hates. And the number one, the top number one thing that God hates, that tops the list at all, is pride. A proud look. Pride defies God. That's the first thing that you got to watch out for, is that pride defies God. Proverbs 16:5 says, "Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord." Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Why does God hate pride? Really, I mean, every sin, you know, they're bad, sure, and there's theft, and there's adultery, and there's this, that, and the other, you know, lying and cheating. And why does God hate pride so much? Well, many theologians point to the fact that all the other sins stem from pride, or can be traced back to pride if you trace it back far enough. But not only that, but it's the fact that pride created the devil. Pride created the devil. He was called the son of the morning, Lucifer, at first. And that's why he said, "I'm going to set myself up to be even greater than God is." And of course, he was cast down. Satan's kingdom was built on pride. That's why Paul instructs Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:6. He says about being the leadership of the church, "Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall in the same condemnation as the devil." The same condemnation as the devil. And that's pride. Pride created the devil. Pride ruined the human race. Pride ruined the human race. Temptation in the garden with Adam and Eve was not to eat a piece of fruit. That wasn't the temptation. The garden was filled with fruit. God had blessed them richly in the garden. No, the temptation was, take this and you will be as God. Pride ruined the human race. Pride created the devil. Pride defies God. Not only does pride defy God, but also the second thing that you need to watch out for pride is that pride defiles man. Pride defiles man. One person wrote it this way: as long as you're proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down on people. As long as you're looking down, you're not looking up to anything. Proverbs 16:5, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. In heart, it comes from within. Mark chapter 7, verse 21 says, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. It comes from within. It comes from the heart of man. We were talking about being a peacemaker a couple of Sundays ago, and we talked about how the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart and the fact that we were born into a sinful nature. But Jesus frees us from that. Jesus actually sets us free from that nature that we were born into. Since the fall of man, we are able to have fellowship and communion with God. For any that might accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and as their Savior, it's the free gift, not only of eternal life, but the free gift of abundant life. And many have come to realize that it's freedom from ourselves that Jesus provides too. Pride defiles man. You ever see an apple with a wormhole in it? You know, what's that old joke? What's worse than an apple with a wormhole? Half a worm or something like that. How's that go? According to my research, the worm doesn't bore into the apple. The egg of the worm was laid in the apple blossom, and the worm that was hatched inside the apple and makes its way out. I didn't know that until I started reading about that. And I think, well, that's the kind of just like it is with pride. Pride's on the inside, and it makes its way out of our hearts. And we need to be born again, because when we were born the first time, we were born with the nature that was inclined to pride. And each and every human being needs Jesus in their life, because we have this working in our hearts against each other, nation against nation, wars, battles. Bring it on home to cities where people can't get along in our own communities. Bring it on even further than that, down to the home. It boils down to pride. And we're born with it. It's our nature. But Jesus says there's another way. And you have access to a higher power that we can defeat this pride and actually live for Him instead of living for ourselves. So pride defiles man, but pride also divides society. And that's what I was getting to here in just a minute. Listen, folks, there's never been a war. There's never been an argument. There's never been a divorce. There's never been a church split in which pride was not a factor. Never been a war. Never been an argument. Never been a divorce. Never been a church split in which pride was not a factor. You don't believe me? Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 28:25 says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. If God resists the proud, then the proud man is out of fellowship with God. Anyone who's out of fellowship with God is going to be out of fellowship with other people. And so pride divides society. You ever have a discussion with your spouse? A discussion that the neighbors could hear? That's never happened, right? You know, those discussions get a little bit loud, and you're not having an argument, you're having a discussion. Well, yeah, you're having an argument, it's what it is, all right? But what's that all about? What's really going on there? What's that really all about? That's about pride. That's about pride, about ego against ego. Someone once said, no arguments are too big to be solved, just people are too small to solve them. We get into these arguments and we don't understand. If you attack the problem instead of attacking each other, then you can solve the problem. But we're too busy. We're not trying to solve the problem. We're trying to win the argument. We're too busy trying to win the argument instead of trying to solve the problem, and that's pride. Only by pride comes contention. Any contention in your home, pride's the issue. Problem's ego. You know, we need more men that are willing to take their ego off the throne and put Jesus on the throne. We need more women that are willing to take their own ego off of that throne, put Jesus on the throne for the sake of your family, for the sake of your home, for your household, and also for the sake of the church. Because folks, with strong families, the church only benefits from that. Jesus on the throne is number one. Well, when you got that, it's really hard when you're trying to get your opinion over on somebody or trying to win an argument. It's really hard to do that when Jesus is number one and you look and say, Jesus, what would you do? Jesus, wouldn't you help me? What would bless you in this instance? Not only does pride divide, but pride dishonors. Pride dishonors life. A proud person wants honor. A proud person wants esteem. A proud person, you know, wants a pat on the back. But the Bible says pride only brings dishonor. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes shame. Proverbs 18:12 says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. The proud person always ends up with contempt instead of admiration, it seems like. Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride will bring him low. And Jesus taught us the way to look, the way up is down. Jesus taught us the way down is up. Remember when I told you that pride turned the devil into the devil? I got a scripture to read for you. It's in Isaiah 14, verse 13. It tells that story a little bit about what happened. It says in Isaiah 14, verse 13, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms? Pride dishonors. Pride brings shame. The very thing that the proud man desires, he gets the opposite. Look at what Jesus said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. We're told, Paul tells us, that we are to have Jesus' mind. We're to think the way Jesus thought. In other words, we're supposed to live like Jesus lived. And Paul tells us to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Was it one that said, I'm going to sit on the mount of the congregation? Was it a mind that said, on the farthest sides of the north? Was it a mind that said, I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds? I'll be like the Most High? No, that's not the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ was this: who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Pride dishonors life, but Jesus has something so much more in mind for you. He created you to be so much more and not to take pride in yourself, because pride leads to destruction. And Jesus said, hey, you know, it might be counterintuitive, but that's because of your sinful nature. You need to have my mind. And how did Jesus come? He didn't come as this world leader conqueror. He came as a humble servant, washing his disciples' feet. We don't understand how pride brings just the opposite of what we want, but I'm reminded of that frog. Y'all know the story of the frog that spent summer with the ducks? Y'all don't know that one? Having a great time in the pond there with the ducks, and the ducks said, "Hey, you know, time's going to come. We got to be heading south. It's going to get cold up here." And the frog said, "Oh, man, I sure wish I could go with you." And the duck said, "Well, you can't fly. You can jump, but you can't fly." And the frog said, "Well, wait a minute. You two ducks, if we get this stick, and one of you grabs one end of the stick, and the other one grabs the other end of the stick with your mouth, with your bill, I'll grab the middle of the stick with my mouth. And y'all can just fly me on down south." So that's what they did. One duck got a stick, another duck got a stick in the bill, and then the frog grabbed that stick with his mouth, and they started flying south. Well, just like you were laughing, there was this farmer in South Carolina that looked up and said, "Wow, would you look at that? Two ducks carrying a frog, and they're going south. I've never seen anything like that. That's amazing. I wonder whose idea that was." And the frog said, "Mine!" Pride goeth before a fall. Pride dishonors life. And isn't that just like Satan? He promises pleasure and he gives you defeat and destruction. He promises you life and the result is death. Pride destroys. That's the fifth thing you need to know about pride. Pride destroys. Pride ultimately destroys all that it controls. It's the road to ruin. Proverbs 15:25 said, "The Lord will destroy the house of the proud." The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Also, Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Seeds of destruction are in pride. I'm telling you, pride's a road to ruin. It's filling hell, national ruin because of pride. There's domestic ruin in our homes like we talked about because of pride. There's financial ruin because of pride. Well, Pastor, how do you get financial ruin because of pride? Well, many of us are going broke because our neighbors keep buying stuff that we can't afford. There's emotional ruin. You're going to emotional ruin because you're being controlled by your circumstances, and it's because of pride. And there's spiritual ruin. There's spiritual ruin, that eternal ruin, because sometimes because of pride we find ourselves too big for God to use. And you can be too big for God to use. But listen to me, friends, you can't be too small for God to use. There's no better day than today. There's no better day than today. Take a pride inventory. Just inventory your life. Repent. Humble yourself. Admit to yourself that you need total dependence on God. There's no one too bad that God can't save. There's no one too good that they don't need to be saved. But I tell you right now, pride will get in your way of thinking to think that you don't need Jesus. That this salvation is something that you could certainly live without. But the truth is, folks, that we can't save ourselves. And no matter how great self-concept that you have, and no matter how wonderful that you see yourself in this life that you're living, the truth is that each and every human being needs Jesus. Do you have them today? Don't let pride get in the way. Let today be the day that you put that aside and you humble yourself to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and as your Savior. Father, I thank you so much for bringing us here today, but Lord, there's some things that can blind us. Lord, there's some things that can get between us and you in such a way that we just don't see what we need to do. Lord, won't you take those barriers down? Lord, help us to see that you have bridged the gap, that we can have fellowship with you, that we can commune with you and you can commune with us. And Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, I pray, Father, that you help them to see how much they need you. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.